Well, the title of today's message is Dissident Racism in a Crowded Theater. Fire! 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 I thought I'd start out on a kind of a sarcastic note. Do you know where your right to free speech or free expression comes from? Can you imagine living in a society where your every thought and spoken word must be checked and filtered before it comes out of your mouth and somebody hears what's on your mind? Somebody might respond by saying, in America, you can say anything you want, except you can't shout fire in a crowded theater. Or perhaps even in a church that isn't crowded. This was never the intent of our founding fathers, and was affected by Oliver Wendell Holmes in a 1919 decision to uphold the sentencing of a prominent socialist for the crime of distributing anti-draft pamphlets against World War I. The defendant was a Yiddish-speaking Jew, Charles Schenck. However, Holmes actually said, falsely shouting fire, which emphasized that speech which is false and dangerous is not protected, in contradistinction to speech which was truthful and dangerous. The word falsely was dropped, and the meme, in essence, the shouting fire in a crowded theater ruling, severely mitigated the scope of the First Amendment right to free speech. The shouting was having a dissenting opinion, and the crowded theater was America. Holmes began to doubt his earlier decision and had a change of heart. In the Abrams versus United States case, the defendant, Jacob Abrams, a Jewish anarchist, who was deported for opposing any American intervention in the Bolshevik Revolution, which we know was Jewish. Well, if this wasn't Marxist dialectics, then these two Jews must have been comedians. And the joke is on free speech, or the progressive limitations on future white Christian rhetoric in terms of Orwellian newspeak, which would be punishable by law. What saith Scripture? The first thing we should understand is that the incarnate God, the Word made flesh, was crucified on the cross because the Lord was not inhibited by the traditions or edicts of man to speak what others may or may not hate to hear. In Titus 2, 7 and 8 we read, concerning all things, present yourself as a model of good works, teaching without corruption, reverence, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that the adversary may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. Now, the opponents of Christ then and now, however, cast aspersions of shame upon Christians without cause, for the most part. For the lesser part, those who assert a representation of the ecclesia and feed the sheep, the body of Christ, with unhealthy substance, the junk food of religion, must be condemned. They are the ones that should be put to shame. We live in a shameless society because there is a war of words. At best, there spews from the pulpits an impunity of lukewarm, homogenized milk, and at worst, a prostitution of a pious priestcraft surfeiting on rattlesnake meat that makes God's word of none effect. Our founding fathers believed that our race had certain inalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, from which we derive a freedom of speech and expression. But it was always within the context of the white race and Christianity. Our rights come from God, and God-given rights are non-negotiable. The idea of a black loudmouth like Al Sharpton and an Africanized church would have been laughable and not a consideration of the founder's intent. Jefferson spoke of these rights as having been endowed to us by our Creator, understanding that liberty is inherent, and postulated that governments are instituted in order to allow man, we the people, the governed, to pursue those rights and to do so freely. If we have lost it, shame on us. Liberty and consent of the governed were imperative for government to be benevolent and efficient. When you give up your rights, you can expect just the opposite. The devils are waiting in the wings, waiting for whom they may devour. There was liberty in the Garden of Eden to partake of anything except that forbidden fruit. They took that liberty to disobey, and the rest is history. We were created by God to serve Him, to know Him, and to be happy in Him for eternity. The ultimate freedom is found in belonging to Christ. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In the body politic, we are compelled to prove all things and hold on to what is good. Speaking the truth in love is a biblical mandate, but it is not the sloppy agape of churchianity. It is the love of 1 John 5:3, which says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." Therefore, any government that guarantees us the right to speak the truth is in alignment with biblical principles. The United States government, all capital letters, incorporated today, is out of order with God. And that is why I bring forth this message of dissident racism, to stand our ground in the authority of Jesus Christ, come what may. Any law of the beast that suppresses white Christian America is against our God. Despite the law of God and the principles of our founding fathers, the clear racial message of Scripture are now considered hate speech in the Babylonian world of political correctness. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Many Christians throughout history have been persecuted by their societies because the expression of their beliefs did not line up with the status quo. We just reacquainted ourselves with Daniel and the story of the lion's den, as well as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, exercising their God-given right to express their relationship with God through their actions. We can have an acquired identity syndrome, which is to say the motivations of the Holy Spirit to declare the good news to our own kind. I have no guilt concerning the exclusivity of Christian identity. Shame on those hypocrites who revile the racism that is a divine mechanism for survival in this wicked world. To overcome any kind of genocide the enemy can dream of, we refuse to bow down to the gods of multiculturalism, and we will express the reasons why. We will condemn the deviant perversions of modern Sodom and Gomorrah. God wants us to obey Him and to be a light unto the world. If the darkness of strange gods motivates the Antichrist to hate us, to legislate crimes for the purpose of imprisoning or murdering us, then let them try to defy the God of Elijah, who baptized them permanently at the brook Kishon. That of which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak it with boldness as it is necessary for me to speak it. Ephesians 6:20. But in this wicked world, be aware that God never promises that we will always be free to speak without consequences. Indeed, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil. Why? When God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you people of Israel to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. Now, if we're right with God, we have the right of expression. For I am not ashamed of the good news, because it is the power of God for the life of all who believe in it. All, of course, means all of His people, not all of the humanoids upon the face of the earth. Whenever I see that bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot, it really does smack of an arrogant, repackaged Roman Catholic doctrine of Arminianism, that man has the free will to bring about his own salvation and marginalize the sovereignty of God while he's at it. But did you know that your own thoughts and words are under divine control? If you want to be a liar or a slanderer, then that's your own doing. But if you're going to represent God, it is the Lord's doing. We all, at one time or another, suffer from foot and mouth disease, but we have the grace of God to seek forgiveness. From Proverbs 16:1, we learn that the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Can you imagine the creator of the universe not being able to read your mind like a book and thus determine whether or not your name is in the book of life? God is omniscient, which means he knows everything. For the word of God, what was the word made? Flesh? That's right, Jesus Christ. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating to the division of life and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Christ knows us better than we know ourselves. How else can he judge us at the great white throne? For there is nothing secret which shall not become evident, and nothing hidden that won't be made known and come to light. Think of your life as being one continuous candid camera, and your thinking nakedly exposed to a supernatural psychic. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the captain, that's the word they use in the King James, or pilot of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Likewise, for us to have the mind of Christ, we also must suffer the death of our carnal nature, the old man, becoming a new man. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We cannot belong to Christ unless he is the pilot, the potter, the great shepherd, etc. When we surrender the illusion of free will, not choice, we will speak freely. And our founding fathers understood this concept and is why they incorporated it into the First Amendment. But after years of spiritual erosion, the inalienable and exclusive rights of free speech and expression have been taken away from Christians and given to the dogs. Willfully corroding the history of our founders is a sign of a culture's impending doom. We're there. If our people could retain a clear knowledge of the foundations of our freedom soaked in the blood of stout white men, then we might possibly discover the keys to preserving them. The originator of salvation and liberty for the white race, our kinsman redeemer, has been adulterated by a plethora of toxic religions alien to the word and the intentions of the hearts of the founders. The noxious tares have grown amongst the wheat. We would still have the contest between good and evil, even if men spoke God's will so long ago in a document in agreement with scriptural principles. Albeit Christian in nature, the document was not intended for those voicing the mainstream majority opinion. They had the smarts to know that sheep stray and wolves prey upon them when not protected by their shepherd. Free speech is critical when the sheepfold is under siege. and the minority opinions taboo and not universally believed. In a startling Supreme Court ruling, even though free speech, let alone dissident speech, has been butchered by judicial fiat throughout our history to exercise an arbitrary court order into action. In U.S. Code 18875C is a law that now makes it a federal crime to transmit in interstate or foreign commerce any communication containing any threat to injure the person of another. In other words, you can spend 5 years in prison if you yell fire in a crowded theater. Not if you falsely yell fire. Where is the jurisdiction of the Genocide Treaty in this perfect storm of dueling tyrannies? We should be able to shout fire in a crowded theater if there are encroaching flames and not be prosecuted by manipulative public servants. My wife and I bought a car recently, and I got a postcard the other day that sounded like it was from Buick, which said, "Vehicle Alert Notice," and that our particular car's warranty was about to expire. There was no address, only an 800 number. So I Googled the number and found out it was a scam. But what was revealing was that in the comment section, you had all these people who got burned, and one commentator that couldn't say enough good things about the company. This, in turn, infuriated the victims and provided even more details to convince anyone that the company was bogus. I only mention this to say that Jews have no reservations in lying through their teeth to deny an exposition of their dirty deeds. It takes a dissident racist to have the nerve to expose their lies. The Bible calls them watchmen. And they warn their kindred of snares, thistles, and thorns that are not of our race and wish to do us harm. In 2008, in California, Proposition 8, with the ballot title, "Eliminates Rights for Same-Sex Couples to Marry," an initiative constitutional amendment, which submitted over 1 million signatures and qualified for the ballot for people to vote on. It was passed into law with over 7 million voters saying yes. Soon after the victory, for traditional moral values, sodomites filed lawsuits, and U.S. District Court Judge Vaughn Walker, one man, overruled the people of California, overruled 7 million people, and said the amendment was unconstitutional. Last Friday was a day of gay celebration for the Supreme Court siding with same-sex marriages being legal in all 50 states, and a day of mourning for Negroes in Charleston, South Carolina. Both are superficial and will be short-lived If the God of wrath begins to move his spirit, and thy will be done. We need dissident racism in America now more than ever. And yet another stereotypical mass shooting with most of the telltale odor of a false flag operation. America is subjected to the Kool-Aid of media mind control. Once again, the perpetrator is a loner under psychiatric supervision and psychotropic drugs and a racist to boot. I'm sorry, but I just don't believe the movie being shown in this crowded theater that has any foundation in reality. The Antichrist political system of abject corruption, greed, and hedonism no longer represents white Christian America, but only themselves and the trickle-down economy of parasites feeding at the federal pig pen. Benjamin Franklin said, "When the people find that they can vote themselves money, that will herald the end of the republic." Thomas Jefferson said, "The democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not." And he also said, "A government big enough to give you everything you want is a government big enough to take away everything you have." Now, both of these quotes, admittedly, are allegedly spurious, but both speak the truth, regardless of who said it. Washington, D.C., district of cesspool, is the greatest pollutant of liars, legal plunder, and the basest of perverts who run this nearing third world country into the ground with impunity for their lawlessness, drunkenness, and unrighteousness against the tax slave citizens as long as they bow down to their Jewish masters. Detroit is the poster boy for these social engineers. Something to look forward to? Former Congressman Paul Findlay wrote a book called They Dared to Speak Out, in which he documents the biggest campaign lobby that throws money around like candy is the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, otherwise known as AIPAC. And they can make or break a politician with the power of their purse, who are able to suppress free debate, compromise national security, and shape U.S. foreign policy favorable only to the Israeli den of vipers. The Jew is hell-bent on crushing any dissident voices that dare to speak about them with historical facts. Who in Congress is not bought and sold by the Jew like a slab of meat? Those brave souls who refuse to prostitute themselves for 30 pieces of silver are either maligned during a campaign or killed. The obeisance is seen so often with the traitor having his photo op at the Wailing Wall wearing a yarmulke. But they get a free pass from their own constituents who themselves live their lives with an invisible muzzle. I can't emphasize the words of Marx enough. Not Groucho, Karl. Take away the heritage of a people, and they are easily persuaded. In order to take away our heritage, the enemy must first sell a lie as if it were the truth, and then have your intended target promulgate and defend the lie with their lives or their sons and daughters' lives. The Bible doesn't have too many kind words for the rich, which we call global elitists today, who pretend to care about the poor, but are actually pawns, while they play their game with a capital G versus God that I've mentioned in previous messages. There is an aristocracy of neo-titles of nobility under the guise of CEO, CFO, President, Senior Vice President, etc. And the world is their stage to persuade the masses that they can be rich too. But the illusion and cruel joke is as likely as winning the lottery. Why Christian Americans should never be seduced into thinking that Babylon is the way, the truth, and the life. But many have been deceived because, by way of deception, the Babylonians shall wage war against us by their sorceries or medications, both physical and spiritual. Shall the nations be deceived to follow the witchcraft of rebellion? Our people are heavily medicated for a lack of substance. The less we know about what's going on in the world, the less we're able to come out of Babylon. The medication comes from the poisoned pulpits, the poisoned politicians, the poisoned media whores, the poisoned academicians, each of whom turn the truth of God into a lie and worship the creature more than the Creator. This is Judaism deciding what is right or wrong. This is coming from the descendants of those Jews who killed Christ and would do it all over again today, but vicariously do it to his followers, accounting us as sheep for slaughter. Most white people cannot imagine another human being having an innate hatred towards us, but that is the animal motivation of non-whites that all stand under the Jewish umbrella. Likewise, God has a reciprocal enmity in Adam kind to oppose them. It truly is them and us. And the gulf will never be bridged with rainbows and unicorns, with universalism and myths. Negroes are quite free to pursue their dreams as they see fit in Kenya or Nigeria, but not in America. The mongrel bloodlines will never be able to accept personal liberties and responsibilities for their lives because their concept of freedom is to eliminate the white man who gave them everything they have today, biting the hand that feeds them. The great whore of Revelation that sits upon many waters is explained in verse 15. Who are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues? And is the same woman who went whoring after strange gods in ancient Israel, who was and is the succession of beast empires, assimilating sheep with goats, and are medicated with the wine of her fornication. Without our racial propensity for innovation and invention, there would be no civilization or global economy. When the Jews were expelled from every Saxon nation, Esau Edom was planning a fantastic coup d'etat on a grand scale where their expulsions would never again be repeated. After the French Revolution, the emancipated Jews set course for a reign of terror, the likes of which the world had never seen, nor would they really understand. The usurious Jew would become the head, and the Saxon world would become the tail. Today, we see the fruits of Jewish perfidy and the refined science of mind control. That is to say, the infringement of free speech. The British Empire had morphed into the American Empire, and race traitors, self-loathing Israelites, having sold their souls to the devils. They handed over the reins of finance to the Jew on Christmas Eve 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. Their conspiracy brought the African Negro to America. They contrived a civil war between the North and South over commerce, money, not race. They exploited the ex-slaves to divide and conquer white Christian America. And they elevated the Negro far above what they deserve in every respect of the conspiracy, even crowning a degenerate Kenyan as commander-in-chief to foment perpetual Jewish wars. We cannot realize any victory. We cannot win the final battle, and we cannot win the hearts and minds of our people without the hope of Christ. The Word made flesh, in no uncertain terms, warns us throughout the pages of the Bible that sin in the camp will destroy us. And the Jewish strategy knows this better than the gentle sheep of his pasture. The tares cannot be more fully mature, whereas the wheat has a little bit more time to grow from a merciful God. I have said before that there's no coming race war. It's here and now. By the same token, we should not be fooled by extravagant gun-related shock extravaganzas brought to you by your boob tube media. The recent news story from Charleston, South Carolina, and that's all it is right now, is a story. It is void of any journalistic integrity, but is replete with hypnotic political agendas as ready-made as Sandy Hook, the Boston Marathon, and the big production number of 9/11. The Jewish-controlled media is deciding for you that the alleged perpetrator, Dylan Storm Roof, is guilty before proven innocent. Why even bother having a trial when the talking heads of historical revisionism and white nationalism and even Christian identity are regurgitating Jewish propaganda? One commentator, who is well aware of MK-Ultra mind control, made the absurd observation that the political views of a, quote, homicidal terrorist was of no interest to him, and yet he advocates hanging the accused in public. What if the IMF, Impossible Mission Force, or it could be the International Monetary Fund, for lack of a better art form imitating life, were to kidnap this revisionist and torture and drug and hypnotize him to be their Manchurian candidate? Wouldn't he want somebody in his corner, a dissident racist, to articulate how people in an Orwellian world are framed and railroaded for crimes that were beyond their control? The sheeple have an imagination for wicked racist, but they can't imagine Jews or niggers staging a false flag for ulterior motives. Is it just coincidence that the Patriot Act and a new Department of Homeland Security was planned before 9/11? And the boogeyman terrorist charade is simply Marxist dialectics? Immediately after the shooting at the AME Church, which stands for African Methodist Episcopal, Obama was right there with his teleprompter spouting gun control and evil racism. Jew stooge for George Soros. Obama was closely linked to church figureheads. As much as his Chicago mentor, Jeremiah Wright, who said, "God damn America." Should be noted that AME was founded in 1816 by blacks who wanted to be free from white Methodist and had as their motto, "God our Father, Christ our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit our Comforter, man our brother." But that last part was changed in 2008 to "Humankind, our family." If you think about these subtle points, the AME is a double-minded church, being both racist, insisting upon calling themselves Africans, and universalist, touting humankind at the very same time. Surely they know the difference between humankind and Adamkind. They are as part and parcel vassals of Jewry, as much as the Jewish invention, the NAACP. However, it's another story when the genre of racial literature purveys from some quarters the sophistry of racial equality. That is not the racial message from Christ, but from the great whore of Rome, making egalitarianism the canon of churchianity. Christian identity proceeds from every word that comes from the mouth of God, not man. If God does have a chosen people to the exclusion of all others, and the Lord says he came only for a particular people, then it behooves the white Christian to stop thinking that all people in the Bible means universalism. Galatians 3:16 is but one passage that should settle the question of exclusivity, although the Masoretic translation tries to alter the anointed to Christ the person. Here's what it says, and this is from the Christogenia New Testament, and I think you'll see a difference. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, or race. He does not say, and to seeds, in plural, as though referring to many, but referring to one, and to your seed, which are anointed. Now the King James says, who is Christ? Big difference. You know, even if the Negroes were all shot by a white guy, just as the media says, I still would not in good conscience be remorseful for a seed that is not anointed by God, and indeed was not created by God, because God creates kind after kind. And Adam kind is the only man that walks the earth. The word man means Adam, and Adam means man. There are no other Adams in the world. What we see as non-whites, the Bible calls strangers or heathens, and they will eventually, quote, be as though they had not been. Obadiah 1:16. They will become extinct, along with the Edomite Jews becoming ashes under the soles of your feet. But you see, the whole idea behind Charleston is to have pity for the poor Mamzers who have no kinship with Jesus Christ and therefore worship a Negro deity, which is anathema to us. Shame on the identity preacher who equates the death of brute beasts with innocent people or a Christian church. When these mongrels work to devour our land, the Bible equates them to locusts. To divorce themselves from true Christianity and thus reverting to jungle witch doctors wearing lavish purple robes and necklace crosses, overacting the grief card. The same preacher who calls the Charleston shooting a satanic act is promoting white guilt through the back door. No, thank you. I wasn't there. I didn't pull the trigger. I don't care. Because I heart my people. I love my people. African Methodists receive no sympathies here. If you think you can love your race without hating others, you are delusional and doing more harm than good. Why should we condemn Dylann Roof if we love liberty and believe that no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law? Why should we take the word of Babylonian scribes for this story if we have received the love of the truth? Lest we forget the Duke University rape case in 2006, where three white lacrosse players were falsely accused of raping a black stripper at a frat party and subsequently convicted by the Jews media and leftist faculty, but were later found innocent in court. Today's scripture reading from 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13, Paul is telling us the most clear testimony of the Godhead and office of the Holy Spirit as it relates to the white race. We have to understand that no one knows the things of God except the Holy Spirit. We can never get it from the heathen world, to whom belongs bearing false witness, and their power derived from lawlessness, exercised for worldly advantage. The apostles were not guided by worldly principles or from the spirit of unbelievers. They had received the revelation of these things from the Spirit of God by discipleship. We study to show ourselves approved, to perceive what the Spirit reveals. What we know comes only from the Spirit of God. God has revealed the things prepared for believers through His Spirit. It doesn't mean we will all understand the deep things of God or His spiritual mysteries, but we will understand the basic foundations of the racial message. The spiritual things of God can only be explained to those who are spiritual, who have left behind the carnal world of unbelief. In verse 13, but those things we speak are not in the teaching of the words of the wisdom of men, but in the teaching of the Spirit, and we compare spiritual things to the spiritual. The free speech of Christians is freely given to us from God to dissent that which is evil, that which spoils and corrupts the spirit of man. Dissident racism, even the racism of hate, is a spiritual opposition to the pride of carnal reasoning, the rationalization for universalism. The carnal man is a stranger to the divine life. The spiritual man only is the person to whom God gives the knowledge of His will. It is only God's chosen race, that is, my people, who are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The context is a spiritual Israel within a physical Israel. We speak to our own kind just as Jesus did, to convey such ideas as He would impart. The crowded theater, this is Genesis 17:2. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and will greatly increase your numbers. We cannot be inhibited by the adversaries of God to proclaim the good news to our own people. We cannot use the words of worldly wisdom to expound spiritual things. We are compelled to speak with the dissident racism of the disciples and apostles of the early church, because it is the leading of the Holy Spirit for the holy nation race. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I have not forgotten the synthesis of this dialectic, the evil white shooter thesis, the innocent black church antithesis, and the remedy to confiscate your guns while the heathen rage, the removal of the Confederate flag, and whatever else the Antichrist deemed fit to take away from us. For that is the spirit of Antichrist, to remove, to not only remove the Son from the Father, for them it is better to take than to receive. We will exercise our God-given right to free speech in the form of dissident racism next time. Thank you.